time for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so are there any additions or corrections for the agenda? Additions to the agenda? No additions, no executive sessions, so I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so the next thing is the election of officers for the year 2016. So, since I've been the president for the last few years, I'm not going to be it anymore, so I'm going to nominate Pete for the president. And I don't care who wants to be secretary or vice president, I'll take whatever.
Doesn't matter to me either.
Okay. Well, okay, then you want to try something different?
Guess I'll be secretary this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll nominate you.
Okay. So the slate would, pardon me?
Okay, the slate then, all right.
Okay. So the slate would consist of Pete, president, me, the vice president, and you, the secretary?
That's fine.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, there's none, okay. So, the consent agenda. Has everyone had a chance to look at the consent agenda? I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. In case you haven't noticed, Larry went to a court meeting or a different meeting, and I went to another meeting, and we were watching the parliamentary procedures taking effect. I went to a WDFW meeting, and the comments, the people who wanted to make comments actually came up so that everyone could hear. And so that's what this little table is for, sideways at the end of the U here, because we have our microphone smack in the middle. It's a good microphone, but it doesn't always reach to the very back. And so when we have comments, I'd appreciate it if you would come up to the, you don't have to sit down if you don't want to, but if you come up to the table to make your comments so that they can get on the microphone, because we've had difficulty with people being able to go back to the audio minutes and understand everything. So having said that, it's open for public comments that are not related to the agenda now. Bertram?
Well, I'll try it out to identify
yourself. Oh, and if you could identify yourself.
Okay, I'm Bertram Levy. So last time at the when it came to the list of uses for the yearly uses, the ramp annual passes were 430 or something like that. It didn't make sense because there were 500 last year. So I went over and talked to the guys over there, and those numbers were quite off. That it turned out that there were at least 535 tickets sold last year, of which 25 went to Quilcene, and 10 went to disabled veterans. So it looked like there was about 500 in Port Townsend. It's a little hard to tell.
Now, are we talking about annual ramp?
Annual ramp pass. But what was really curious to me was there was only 1,026 daily passes for the year. It seemed quite low. I'm talking to the guys, that, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people that are not paying, they're just dumping and parking. And we had talked about ways to make the ramp more compliant. And one way would be to have a gate that you have to put your card into so that there was a gate in front of the ramps so that you either put in your annual or you put in the daily one. The daily one would take two, whatever. So you could open it up twice, one to dump your boat, one to take it out. And that would, the guys think that would be great over there because they said we wouldn't have to be so crazy about watching people and wouldn't have to be chasing. So I offer that as a suggestion to consider a gate in front of the ramps. And secondly, as I mentioned before, the putting a coin operated or some vehicle for operating the water would be another way not to provide that free service, and we've talked about that as well. And finally, the last suggestion that we were kicking around that might be something attractive is if there are only 25 more ramp passes sold this year, it doesn't look like there's would be that much more high volume in the new ramp system. So I would offer the commissioners an idea that just like you have an HOV lane where you pay on the freeway, maybe you would put in a double card to use the second ramp so that if people were impatient and didn't want to wait to go in, they could use the new ramp but pay more. And the port would make more money. So those were some suggestions for that.
So didn't you look into some costs for installing some sort of a system out here at the washdown?
Yeah, Larry Ozzie has, and we've got the numbers for that. It was pretty expensive. Just because it has to be stainless steel because of the elements and stuff. But yeah, we've got those numbers and we can move forward on that.
Was that the gate or the
No, it's the water.
On the washdown.
Meter on the washdown.
Has anyone looked at any gate?
We have not looked at that yet, but you know, it's an idea we should look at.
Are there any, I'm trying to figure out, I was thinking never do that. Two gates, I've never seen a gate, so I mean, not a boat ramp.
Yeah, having sat on the RCO boat ramp committee all those years, I've never seen one designed.
Yeah, we'll look at it. Yeah.
My only fear is.
Relates to resource.
Yeah, we're looking at a gate out at the firearms range, and those are coming in between, that's, card kind of a thing. So members only, newspapers can get in and out, and that's pushing $15,000 for a decent gate. So
for one gate?
For one gate, just, single lane, for a car.
We'll get you some costs and see what you think.
Any other public comments?
Hi, I'm Eric Durfee. I had some comments that I've been kind of stewing about since sometimes, then from the last meeting, the workshop, and then kind of trying to collect some ideas and thoughts and try to do as much research as I can. And this is, I'm kind of out of my element with some of these things, but it's just kind of an overall feeling from what people I talk to, friends, colleagues around town, either related or involved in the marine trades or not, or marine boats, any of the marine activities, access, any of the cost centers, whether it's the boat ramp, the moorage, the airport. So it just seems like, we're, the port's in a bit of financial crunch with everything that I've heard. And I haven't really heard much in the way of, nobody seems to have heard much in the way of looking at the administrative costs, which have increased dramatically since 2012. The 2016 budget, it's up like 31%, up to 273,000 more. So I don't know what all that entails, but the CRRP, the Capital Repair and Replacement Plan, was detailed last time, it just seemed very well organized and pointed out a huge amount of cost to keep all the stuff going. So we all do have that, continue to have access, and also continue the ability for everyone in marine trades, everyone who's involved, to benefit financially and so forth. So I'm trying to understand what the public access to water seems to be kind of a secondary push, I guess, compared to economic development, which to me is the same thing. And I know, Mr. Tucker, you said last time after that was presented that, this doesn't leave much money left for economic development projects and so forth. And I'm not really sure what you might have had in mind, but specifically, but it just doesn't seem like any of these kind of projects have really penciled out where they're really making any money. And I'm not sure what kind of things in the future, new projects would be assured of that. And Eric Tate had said, well, they need to make we need to make sure that they're self-sufficient in that, which, you know, I agree with. But there's just, there's so much maintenance in the economy, from my point of view, doesn't seem to be, like, it's just been improving that much. And with all the other issues that are present, I'm just wondering if there's any really hard look at the administrative costs, you know, and from salaries to consulting to, you know, I don't know what all is involved, but since that budget's increased quite a bit. And then, you know, I hate to say it, bring it up again, but the building, you know, we're here in another building to have meetings. There's not even room in the new administration building to have meetings. And the cost just seemed outrageous to me. And I know John Paul, I don't hear what he mentioned, that it was a great investment in real estate and so forth. And I suppose maybe over time, but, you know, you guys are talking about selling some buildings here. I guess, you know, New Day is selling, and some other buildings are up for possible properties, I should say, up for possible sale. And so, what have you looked at selling the administration building? I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, it just doesn't seem necessary, and I don't know how much time you guys actually spend there compared to some other company that might take better, you know, more benefit of it, of its existence. There's just some huge budget balancing that seems to need to happen. And I don't hear really, the public seems to be bringing this up all the time, mismanaged projects and having to raise costs for all these cost centers, and including the mortgage tenants, which I am one, but that's not even why I'm here. It's, you know, all these, if there are cost increases, it should be across the board. You know, the airport seems to be the biggest loser, but just maybe we should just charge them more. And even down to the kayak rack, you know, it's just, if there's a X percentage increase, it should just go across for everyone that's using the arena port facilities.
Okay, that's a little over 3 minutes, so if you could wrap it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm continually concerned about how things are managed and how costs are passed on to the users, you know, I guess what the word is, but to justify some of these other projects that are questionable income value. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Are there any other public comments?
Can I say one
thing? Sure.
You know, Eric, just listening to your comments, I would, if you have the time, I would really recommend sitting down with Abigail and the budget and asking a lot of the questions that you just asked and letting her walk you through where a lot of stuff is at. I think you would get a lot of answers that you're looking for. I mean, it's difficult in a setting like this. We can't just go give and take back and forth and try and answer all those questions. But I would really encourage you, if you have time, to come in and sit down with her.
And Jim and I would be happy to sit down with you too.
Yeah, staff as well.
Okay, so since there's no more public comments, we'll go on to the second reading. These are action items. Boat ramp update.
Jim?
So the boat ramp project continues to go very, very well. They're actually ahead of schedule for this phase. The concrete is being poured in Tacoma for the precast panels, because you can't put uncured concrete in the water anymore. It will be cured by mid-January. So they're going to be leaving the end of this week. Probably won't be back till mid-January to actually put the concrete panels in. But we're on schedule, on budget.
And the old lane will be open for use.
So I see there's a lot of information being posted on the port's website. I was looking through some of the documents that Jim, I guess you put those up there. I don't know.
Sue did.
Sue, okay.
Yeah, we're getting numerous public record requests, you know, for all the basic from the engineer plans to the RCO grant application. So we thought just put them on the website.
That's some interesting reading. I was looking at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit, There was a couple items in there that I was curious about. One is the removal of 300 square feet of dock from a dock to accommodate the ramp. So does that represent a loss of moored space?
Well, what it does is it represents where the sheriff's boat was. So the sheriff's boat can't be there anymore.
So it's, we lost a spot, in other words.
We lost a spot, yes.
The sheriff doesn't pay.
Yeah. So, but we did lose that spot. Yeah.
Well, the sheriff could move to another place that, where he's not paying?
He has been moved to the commercial basin, but we're working with Sheriff Stanko on a whole agreement where they will be paying.
Okay.
They don't give us any free rides, nor does the fire department, so we're going to make sure that inter-local governments pay their mortgage also.
So what I'm wondering about, I mean, that represents a loss of revenue for the port, in that, assuming at this point, since they're still not paying, that represents a loss of revenue, and which is a cost towards the boat ramp. Okay. Was that included in as far as the cost? Costs documented associated with the boat ramp is the loss of revenue for that spot included in that. Seems to me it should be.
Okay, we can do that.
The other thing I noticed on there was the Quincy Street dock removal and all that, which was incorporated into that same permit.
Well, that's our mitigation. We needed to do mitigation for the extra coverage. That was done 2 years ago. So when the city redid the end of Quincy Street, I don't know if you remember the dilapidated pier that was there.
Sure, I remember.
That was removed, and that was what we offered up as mitigation.
So is that, just like the loss of the moorage space, is that a...
Yeah. Well, the fact that we did it, we kind of banked it, if you will. And since this is the next project, in water project, you know, we could apply it to other projects too.
So that was done when we mobilized to do the travel lift pier, so we didn't remobilize. As part of the demo of the old travel loop here, but there was a cost associated with it. You can put that in there if you like.
Well, if it's attributed to this project, what I'm getting at is we should, you know, I really like to see is a spreadsheet that has, you know, a complete from start to finish that includes all this preliminary work that was done long before the construction of the boat ramp actually started.
Sure.
And if the removal of the Quincy Street dock and transfer span and all that was something that could have been held off for some period of time or incorporated into some other project, then that would be a cost associated with that project. It seems to me if this is what, as I read it, it was a requirement in the, not only in the Corps of Engineers permit, but also in the Washington State Joint Aquatic Resources permit as well.
We offered that. You know, we could have done other mitigation for the additional coverage, but we thought that was the easiest thing to do because we had to do it anyway. But that was a decision made, as I said before, you were on the commission. So, but we can add that stuff.
Okay. All
right. Didn't we have a discussion about with the club when they came? The Maine Salmon Club came when they were lobbying for the boat ramp about increased traffic and what the revenue would be on the increased traffic on the second boat ramp.
I gave a presentation before I was even a commissioner about the value of increased traffic in the community, because we're not doing it for us, we're doing it for the community. And so, yeah, there's a definite economic benefit from having more people come here, and more people will come here when they discover they can, when people are still finding out that there's an increased capability coming online. Would it not be a good time to bring up the fact that we've gotten some contributions from the tribes that also aren't included in that? There's some monetary funds that actually I've still got another tribe to meet with. We have $20,000 committed from two tribes, is that correct? We could also put into that.
Well, and you know, it's come up a number of times about public access to water. This is the biggest increase in the ability for the public to access the water. Increasing the boat ramp capacity. You know, there's nothing else we can do with our infrastructure that would increase public access. You know, our marina is full, we have a waiting list, so you're not going to increase anything there. And except for maybe, well, I was going to say Point Hudson, marketing that more, but every weekend is pretty much booked already through the summer next year. And those are people that are coming from elsewhere, so they're already on the water. So.
I was going to address it later on, but yeah. Fort Worden is closed, and I don't know that those ramps will ever be open.
They waited so long before to do something that their permit expired. So they have to go through the entire process now if they want to replace those ramps.
Right, and there's no guarantee that they're going to get it just because of ramps there, because they're having to start from scratch. So it's a little bit dicey right now. So in other words, this is, as far as access to the water goes, this is the biggest, this is about the only way. It's by far the most effective way of improving access to the water that we get.
And that was two ramps that are closed.
It was a double ramp.
Yeah, a double ramp. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else on the boat ramp update? Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering if you could mention how difficult it is to build a boat ramp. And we had lots of conversation, let's shift the boat ramp down to Quilson or to Havelock or whatever. And you and I gave testimony where we were at the meeting where the state of Washington is trying to complete a boat ramp at Point Oakland. And they've spent, I don't know, $3 or $4 million getting everything in, but the concrete going into the water. And so the parking lot, everything, the bathrooms, those are all ready to go. But they're having great difficulty building this boat ramp and making it functional. And then we have Port Havelock, where the port got the RCO funds years ago, and the county decided, for whatever reason, not to give port access to parking. So with no parking, there was no way to increase that boat ramp. So let's go down to Quilson. Quilson would be the same situation, and it's not an easy thing to do in terms of building a boat ramp down there. So we want to increase, as you guys have already said, access to the water. 90% of boats are basically trailer boats or car top boats. And so people that want to have access to the water, that's how they do it. That's how most people do it. And it's not just expense, it's choice a lot of times. People like big boats and they're willing to put the money in it and they have to be in the marina. But a lot of people can get by with a smaller boat and have just as much fun. And if we're going to provide the access, we need a boat. So that's why this facility here was really the only place it could be built. And, I just want to thank the port for getting this in. I know, Brad, it had to be difficult for you to vote in favor of this, and I really appreciate you doing that. It's important to our community. And Steve and Pete, you guys supported this all the way, and we really appreciate that. And I just want to thank you guys for what you've done. And I think it's going to bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars to our community in terms of visitors coming to the community, especially in the winter when it's pretty dead around here. There's going to be fishing derbies here because we now have a facility that's worthwhile. So I thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rod. Okay, anything else on the boat ramp? Craftsman United.
We updated, all three of you came in and gave you a briefing. We had met with Dan a couple of times, he's in the audience. So pretty much everything is still as we updated last Thursday and Friday with you. The next step, what we're recommending is that today you give me the authority to sign a letter of agreement with Craftsman United so that they can use that to get formally going with their engineering process, get the permitting process. They're still looking at the summer to have something going. So it's going to be a fast track permitting process. And so within that letter, we'll talk about some of the things that Craftsman United needs to provide us as part of getting to the point where we can do a formal long-term lease. We have a diagram that they provided that shows the footprint. We marked it out on the ground. I think all of you have been down there to look at it. We put stakes in the ground so you can get a kind of a visual of how the building will be situated. And we're also talking about the lumber yard. There's one small portion of the lumber yard that we can't lease, that we already leased it to the brewery. It's kind of right next to their beer garden where they have some storage containers. That's a very small footprint. So with that, I'd like to for the commission to give me that authority to move ahead.
I make a motion that we authorize Larry to move forward with that letter.
I'll say it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Done. Yay. Bertram.
I think it's a fabulous project though. I was very interested about the ballasting. Is that going to be, is that something that we're going to need there, a deadline for that as well?
Well, the ballast, it's the building itself is going to go on the formal ballasted part of the shipyard.
Oh.
So.
So there isn't as much?
Not as much to do with that now.
Okay.
Yep. That's it.
What's that? Yeah. So did you guys want to add anything to that? Dan?
We just want to move forward and I appreciate the opportunity.
So how soon do you think we can start building?
I don't know. This is my son, Dan. I think I spoke to you before about him. He's my exercise. But we got the banks and everybody all kind of lined up. We just need a document, like I said, from how we talked about the lease. And I think in probably 2.5 months, we should have all the permits and everything.
Terrific.
Okay. That's our hopes and dreams.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, miscellaneous fees.
We had the first reading the last meeting, so it's the second reading and up for approval if the commission so fees fit.
I've heard quite a bit of concern about the increase in the workflow.
From what I've heard, the concern was more focused on the 2 week
limit. Right. So I haven't heard any concern about the cost, more again, like what Larry said, about the time constraint. So do you have any other?
You know, I think on the 2 week, yeah, the common sense thing is, yeah, you work with the boat owner or the marine trade, depending on who the user of the work float is. You know, if there's nobody else scheduled for the work float and they come in to the yard off, say, hey, I need, two or three more days. Okay, so you let them stay an extra couple of days to get the job done. You know, the issue is when you get multiple marine trades and boat owners trying to get access to the work float, trying to be fair to everybody and not have one marine trade to monopolize it for an extended period, which has happened in the past.
So if it was available, if somebody was in there and they wanted to stay past the 2 weeks, I mean, and nobody else was just showing up, then they can stay as long as somebody else is not coming in and asking to use it, correct?
Right. As long as they're doing, making progress themselves and doing work on the boat and not just mooring a boat there, So do you see any issue with that?
I think that's a great way to handle it.
Yeah, and if somebody isn't satisfied, then they can bounce it up the chain to me and I'll be the decider, but I think Terry can pretty much handle it in most cases.
Right. Okay, so having said that, do we want to move to have the miscellaneous charges go as approved, as proposed?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, first reading. Resolution establishing Fort Seaver policies, procedures, and implementing rules.
This is the first reading. This is an Eric Taves designed agenda item. The state has changed their CEPA rules and policies and procedures. And we really should have our own adopted policy. By state law, and you can chime in, Mr. Attorney, port districts do have the authority to be our own lead SEPA agent. Normally, we either look to the city or the county, depending on where the project is. And you have two types of EISs, environmental impact statements, which SEPA is part of. You have a project-specific, such as the breakwater project. That's going to require a project SEPA done, where you look at noise and light and changes in traffic patterns, whatever that project will impact, the whole checklist. Then you have programmatic, where it's a comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements. It's our capital repair and replacement plan. It's going to have a SEPA done on it. So that's what was the catalyst to update our own policy and procedures to do this. So read through it. If you have any questions, staff can get back to you with it. Don't need to vote on it today, obviously. We'll wait till next time. So, do you have anything you want to add?
So you said this is Eric Tay's thing, so
he's a stickler on this. He wants to make sure everything is, all the I's are dotted and T's crossed, which we should. And so he's prepared this resolution.
So is this like streamline future permitting processes? Or?
It can, the
Jim's dark. Shaking his head, so it's going to make it worse?
Yeah.
No, it's not going to make it worse.
But. It's the dark side of SEPA. SEPA stands for the State Environmental Protection Act. And you have NEPA, which is the National Environmental Protection. Things like at the airport have to go through a NEPA as well, because of the federal dollars. But will breakwater need a NEPA? Because we got federal dollars going, yeah. But the dark side of the SEPA is, and the reason why we use the city and the county, is somebody can appeal the project. That's a formal appeal process outlined in the RCW. And if you're the lead agent, you've got to bear the cost of defending your decision. If you run the SEPA and we say there's a determination of non-significance, and then somebody says, oh, contraire, I'm appealing because I think there is a significant impact to the environment, then we've got to go through the whole appeal process and pay for it. Whereas if we let the city do it or the county, then that burden falls on them. But since we do have the legal authority to be the SEPA lead agent, we need a adopted resolution and policy. I don't foresee us using it very much.
We made the decision a long time ago, anything controversial or anything major, we don't touch it. We have a third party do it. This is really for the capital plan that we're looking at.
We'll probably do our own.
Can do and
do. Yeah, it's really simple.
The breakwater, I wouldn't even touch the breakwater.
So does this represent a cost savings? Expense savings?
Yeah, because if we use a seat, what's the city charge, $800? You know, it's not a big dollar figure, but it is a few dollars. So, first reading.
Okay, so for the next thing, potential immediate action items, unanimous commission approval required. So we have these leases that apparently we need to get done before the end of the year. So I guess we need to have a unanimous consent to do these.
How do I even vote
today?
On?
Well, you can do the first vote, but you can't do the individual vote on your own lease.
Well, you need to vote unanimously to take this to immediate action first.
So I move that we take immediate action on these leases.
Okay. I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So now we can go over the Marina Cafe lease.
Okay. I see John in the audience. So if you have any specific questions for her, she can probably answer. What we've done with the Marina Cafe is Jennifer wanted a 5-year commitment. So what we've done is done a 5-year lease, but we've broken it up into options. So she has a 2-year lease with 3 1-year options. The lease is our standard building lease here at the Boat Haven. Rent $452 a month would be the starting rent. It will go up with CPI as everything else does. but that's it.
Derek, how's it going back there?
Really good.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you, and yeah. And I also wanted to add that I didn't want anyone to think that 5 years only meant that I was going to be here 5 years. I want to stay for as long as I can, and so I just wanted to let everyone know it wasn't. I would like to stay, and that's all. Thank you.
Sure, you're a lot of great things.
Okay, so I move that we approve the Jennifer's or the Marina Cafe lease.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, Octopus Gardens lease.
So the second lease for your consideration is another 5-year lease in the same form, a 2-year lease with 3 1-year options. A lot of our tenants like to do that because it gives them flexibility. I know, Brad, you had a question on that. This way, 3 years from now, if somebody says, hey, you know, I've had enough fun and I want out, they can do that. If they don't, we're going to require rent from them for 5 years. So Octopus Gardens, as you're aware, is in the Gold Star building right now. They are going to be moving to the old EDC building, which is going to be a much better building for them. It'll have parking, a better showroom for them. And being by New Day Fisheries and West Marine, I think will be a great addition to that marine trade corridor. So again, what he's asking for is a 5-year lease, $700 a month starting. It will go up with CPI as everything else.
Any discussion?
What's going to happen to the room that he's vacating?
So Armstrong eventually will take that over. So when we're going to start negotiating now, we met with him yesterday, a long-term lease. So we're going to start allowing those things to happen and charging them, of course, more rent for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Octopus Gardens was a subtenant of Gold Star. So they're not anymore. So that's not part of Armstrong, but it probably will be.
Okay.
So, I move that we approve the Octopus Gardens lease.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Puget Sound Express lease.
You'll be able to recuse yourself on this one.
Yeah, I don't think you
can. So the third lease for your consideration is a long-term tenant, Puget Sound Express. I negotiated with Sherry. She wanted a 5-year with a 5-year option. So this represents that $893 a month starting, again, CPIs every year going forward, with the option of renegotiating that rate in 5 years. So the first 5 years will go on that schedule, the second 5 years will be renegotiated as far as rate goes.
I'd make a motion to approve the lease.
Second that motion. So that's done.
Yeah.
You're it. Okay.
They might change their mind.
Okay, so we're now to staff comments.
Yeah, anything?
Just got a Christmas Happy New Year to everybody.
Have a deal?
Anything? Just wanted to let the commission know that we talked about the transition of the banks a few months back with getting the credit card and the credit card system in place and that sort of thing. So now we're finally, because of Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Coast Guard, that took a little longer to transition, but we'll be down to 2 banks in the county starting January instead of 4 banks in the county. So that's good. It'll help on reconciling the bank statements and reactivity and all that's going on as well.
It'll save a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're also going to be trained beginning of January on cash management system with Kitsap Bank. So we'll be able to go online and be a little bit more efficient.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Cash management system?
Cash management. Well, for instance, with Bank of America, the payroll went through there before, and we had to process payroll. For those that were direct deposit, we had to have an electronic file uploaded to their system, then we had to call them, make sure they got it, they received back to us on it, and it was a whole process involved. Now we'll be able to just upload it to their online system, and we'll be okay. We'll have a 2-tier system so that Donna does, she initiates the transactions and I approve them. So
for payroll, you mean?
For payroll. Yeah, there's not really any other transactions. this point, we've got two accounts at Kitsap. We have the auditor revolving fund, which is an impressed fund. It's a regular checking account. It's for, we use it for payroll. And then traditionally, if there's any emergency warrants that need to be done between commission meetings. And then we have our now, we have a depository account, which we used before for cash deposits, and now all the credit cards are going there too. So it's more efficient than that.
What, credit card? Credit cards?
Yeah, the credit cards go to the Kitsap.
Jim?
So our capital repair and plan that we presented last month had us looking at doing the breakwater in 2017, starting the breakwater in 17 and 18. Had a meeting yesterday with the permitting agencies, and there's probably about an 80% chance we're going to have our permits this year.
So,
well, 16, early 16. So this is just for you to think about. In January, by the end of January, we'll know if we'll have permits by the end of May. If we have permits by the end of May, we could, with your approval, move forward on the breakwater project in 16. Rather than 17. It's all dependent on the permits and when they're available. Abigail and I met today with Larry, and you know, there's some positives to that in that money's cheap right now. So when we go out for a bond, it's cheaper now than it might be in 2017.
Yeah, the Feds have started increasing their rates.
So Abigail's going to meet with our bonding people just to see a path forward to give to you all if the 1st of February, you guys give us the authority to move forward in 16, or we can still push it to 17. But the Corps of Engineers is doing a new process on permitting now. They're having National Fish and Wildlife do most of the permits. So it's really increased the speed, getting it out of the Corps of Engineers office and into Fish and Wildlife's office. So we'll probably have this permit in a year's time, which is light speed for those guys. So anyway, more.
When you say May, is that when we would be going out for bid?
What we do is we go out to bid probably the 1st of June if all this works, and then we can figure out a path forward to start in September.
We wouldn't do any physical construction or demolition until after the festival, obviously. And it would still be a two-year phased project. Instead of 17-18, it would be 16-17. Do the big breakwater the first year and come back the next year after the festival and do the north breakwater, smaller one.
More to follow on that, I'll keep you posted.
Just two quick things. One I've mentioned before for the workshop in January, I'm putting together a list. I've got about 8 or 9 things now that some of it we have to address every January, like committee assignments, things of that sort. Readopt the resolution on our meeting procedures, dates, times, locations, etc. But there's a few other things in there. I'll put a list together and put it in your box, if not tomorrow, early next week, just so you start looking at it. And if you have something that you'd like to add to it, then let me know and we'll start putting that together for the agenda. And last week I went over to Port Angeles. They had their farewell for Commissioner Calhoun. He's going off their board, retiring. So said farewell to him. He's been a good friend and a 12-year sitting commissioner, so he's added a lot to the industry. It was interesting talking to their new commissioner that just got newly elected, Commissioner McClear, who's been on for a couple of years now. They're looking at our model of meetings to go to. It's kind of interesting talking to them after the reception, primarily the workshop. They don't do a workshop. A formal workshop like we do, so I gave them the history of and why we do it, and the types of things we use the workshop for. So it's just a little good back and forth between fellow port districts. So other than that, offices will be closed Thursday and Friday for Christmas holiday season, and again the next Friday obviously for New Year's. So be safe. That's all I got.
Okay, public comments? Bill.
Hi, Bill Bunny, Fort Townsend. I just wanted to check and see if where the Community Advisory Committee workshop was the schedule? Was that in the first one or the second one? Have you worked out that yet?
We haven't worked that out yet. It could be something we talk about during our January workshop. You know, we were thinking about discussing that as part of our ongoing retreats, which need to get restarted with David Goldsmith working for the county now temporarily. But I'll throw that on the agenda for the workshop.
When's he going to be done working for the county?
I thought it was the end of the year, but now I guess it's January. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think it's important.
Before you go, hang tight for a sec. So I was at, just real quick, I'll just, congratulations, thank you for what you're doing at the fort with KPTZ. I think you're on that, right? With the tower, the radio tower they're talking about putting up on top of the hill there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's pretty exciting. So they're talking about putting a radio tower on top of Fort Warden. Which would not only really solve a lot of issues in terms of how to come to hell and do a lot of really cool things and build the lead.
It's up on the hill by the bunkers?
Yeah,
or?
The bunkers.
Yeah. Yeah. My usual day. I'm a t-shirt or something.
Bertram?
Yes. On this comment that Jim just made about moving forward with the financing for the breakwater. In discussing that with Abby, it turned out to do a revenue bond rather than there is enough money to do that, but it looked like it was going to really strap the port. It was like it was going to use all the money. So I would love to see the commission have a meeting and discuss the possibility of using the IDC's Industrial Development Corporation for a revenue, for a general obligation bond, so that the port is not strapped. And it requires looking at that whole strategic capital maintenance plan, seeing, projecting how much money you're going to need in the future, and really kind of making a spreadsheet to look at what your responsibilities are going to be over the next 10 years and decide whether you want to use all your revenue for supporting a revenue bond for the breakwater, when you could make you could stretch a definition that tourist industry is an industry and could fit under the IDC. So it would be good, I think, to have that, especially since you're moving ahead on this project, to make sure where the commission wants the community to go on the financing of that.
Jennifer.
And I just wanted to make a comment just to let everyone know that before any holiday, in case you didn't know, it's free day at the cafe. And so Thursday, we're only open half day, but it's free for everyone. We just make hundreds of cookies. There's lots of kids that come by from Grant and stuff. They decorate cookies and take them home with them. But I just wanted to invite everyone that if you're down here, that's our cookie and lots of caffeine day and lots of sugar. So come help yourself.
When do you open?
7 a.m. 7 to 12.
Any other public comments?
I had one question on the capital repair and replacement. I guess it's a proposal or a document. That is that something that gets revised and then adapted at some point, or is it? It's not like it's just a draft. So I'm just curious what that process was in the timeline.
We have to, and that's part of the SEPA thing, procedures that we have to adopt, because we have to. I'm looking at probably at least a 2 to 3 month process to adopt the repair and replacement plan. We've got to actually run a SEPA on it, what they call programmatic SEPA, which has to be a public notice in the newspaper, allow some number of weeks for public to comment on it, and then the commission will have to formally adopt it. You know, we may tweak it depending on any comments that we get, and then we really should update. The RCWs get very onerous of these things. We have our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvement, which is essentially our comp plan, just like the city and the county have a comp plan. We should incorporate the repair and replacement plan into our comprehensive scheme of harbor improvement, because the state law that requires that plan says that you you should not expend any public funds for anything unless it's in that plan. So you incorporate that whole repair replacement plan as part of that. And that requires a public hearing, which has to be noticed 2 weeks in advance in the newspaper. So we're probably looking at March, you know, before we actually have a formal repair replacement plan. But the intent is that it's a living document. You know, as things, you know, are taken care of, they come off the plan. And as time goes on, there's going to be other infrastructure needs that'll probably have to be added. So I see it almost as an annual update with each budget process. You know, either revalidate it, add something, take something off, that sort of thing. So.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, commissioner comments.
I got a couple. Went to the Fort Warren Advisory Committee, and so they're going to start work on mitigating the bank just to the west of the staircase that goes down. And if you haven't been out there, there's a big bulkhead just to the south, and the bulkhead is actually leaning out at about 20 degrees. And there's a big sinkhole on the backside. There's some work, and it's actually on our property.
Yeah, I sent a letter giving them approval. And we had briefed this to the commission before, giving them approval to access our property with the with two covenants. One, that they return it to its original condition as best they can, but also during the project, and they've already provided it insurance, naming the port additionally insured should there be any accidents or some citizen walking on the beach trip over some piece of equipment, you know, we're covered. So they've already done that.
Stairs are in good shape, but that bank is. That's one of the things. The other thing is, I've got, you know, there's a lot of talk, Eric, you were talking about this earlier, about administration costs. And I wanted to just bring this up because I thought this was quite interesting. This is what, so this is Jim and Larry at the Port of Port Angeles. And this is what these people make. So the executive director, $157,000. The deputy director, $140,000. The director of finance, engineering, and development makes $125,000. The airport and marina manager makes $112,000. The property manager, HR manager, and environmental manager makes $100,000. And the account manager makes $90,000. So this is a port that does $9 million a year average, give or take a little bit. We do $6 million a year. And their $9 million is, I mean, a lot of their facilities are rented out. So it's pretty amazing what we do for what the administration does do. So just a quick little comparison of how hard the staff is kind of working to get at that.
So I'm not getting a $30,000 pay raise? Okay.
Well, I just wanted to bring up the Port Strategic Advisory Committee again. You'd mentioned perhaps having that at a commission workshop, which is fine by me, but I would really like to see it in the public workshop so we can interact with the public. Right? Because in the commission workshop, so that doesn't happen, I think it'd be really important that we're probably going to need more than one, that's for sure, to, you know, get this worked out and get the Strategic Advisory Committee up and running. And so I'd really hope that we can fit that into our schedule and have it on a public workshop here.
Yeah, well, why don't we put it on the next workshop, maybe the second Wednesday in January, and come up with a plan, a way ahead on it, and get the thing moving.
Good.
Okay. And the meeting that I attended, the committee meeting between here, this and the last meeting, was the energy lunch. And the topic was smaller scale ammonia power generation systems, which everyone keeps thinking of as Buck Rogers futuristic stuff, but in fact, it really isn't. But the reason that I'm mentioning it is not because of that, but because of suddenly the interest. We had a workshop afterwards, and the interest that's being shown from the county commissioners and the city councilors, and even the planning guys, is growing tremendously. We have a lot of people now that are positively animated about doing neighborhood generation and things that we can do here at the port that would help out with the common goal of moving forward, like a previous speaker had talked about Heath. It's the mill is now actively going to have it. We're going to have a meeting next month about seeing if we can get community heat like they had at Old Poultry. And I guess the thing that the speaker was interesting to me, because I like ammonia, but the thing that was interesting to the entire thing was the fact that we suddenly got some active, really interested participants in the city and the county that are really active and moving forward. So that's my only comment that I have, but we have no executive session. So the next workshop, the next public meeting will be a public workshop, January the 13th. The workshop will be at 9:30, and the other meeting will be a 1 o'clock commission meeting here in the commission building, and this meeting is adjourned.
You two have something in your box you need to pick up.
Okay.
Otherwise, it won't be edible.